Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the recent indictment of former President Donald J. Trump by a hack that's in the position of the DA from Manhattan, Alvin Bragg. We have with us today, and I'm delighted he's taken time out of his schedule, we have with us today Mike Hill, former congressman representative for District 1 in the state of Florida. Then we'll talk with others with some dialogue, what I like to call a roundtable discussion of what we're seeing today coming out of the dual justice system in America. Congressman Hill, go ahead with your thoughts that we had just before the news break.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I was saying I speculate that President Trump will want to go to New York for this sham trial that he would have to appear because he's been indicted. And the reason I say that is already, historically, President Trump has been treated worse than any president in our history. In fact, I would say probably worse than any elected official in our history. So it's historically already it's been noted what has happened. Should they bring him before this jury, before this court for a trial, that would make him a political martyr. Now, I'm not saying that he will die because of that. What I'm saying is politically, he has been martyred. His career politically has been martyred. And for him to go to this trial, to appear before this court, would solidify, again, it never happened before in history to anyone, that this would make him a political martyr historically, that from now on, anyone who reads about our nation, anyone who reads about our politics, they will have to bring up what happened to President Trump. So historically, this political martyr will be known from now on. And I think that's something that he might want. It would put him on a level of a Lincoln, who was a martyr, who was actually killed. But it would put him at that same level because of the persecution that he has faced and is continuing to face by this illegitimate cabal that calls themselves prosecutors and justice. They are not. And I would say, Dr. Youngblood, we all know where this prosecutor got his money from was George Soros.
That's right.
And we all know that a lot of the things that happen on the left that are attacking this country comes from George Soros. My question is, why don't we go after George Soros?
Yes, yes, yes. I've said that over and over.
He's the cause of all this. But we should expel him from this nation. Mm-hmm. We should not allow him in these borders. He's not an American citizen believing in what we believe is what made this nation so great, life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness. He doesn't believe in any of that. He came from Germany, where he turned in his own fellow Jews to the Nazis. He's a despicable human being, and he should be deported from this nation. His assets should be frozen, and he should not be allowed to participate in any of our political system in any form or fashion.
Well stated, and I believe right on point with where we are in America. You touched on President Trump going to his hearing, his arraignment, I assume it would be called, after his indictment, going back to New York for that. And I commend Ron DeSantis, our governor, for taking the stalwart stand that he's taken and saying that he would not participate in any allowing him to go back if he decided he didn't want to. But I think President Trump will go back, and I'd like to see him with the pictures made of them reading him the charges, and with perhaps a number under his chin and the photograph of it where he's officially being thumbprinted and arrested, but released. He'll take those pictures, and I believe that will be the best banner of a re-election campaign that God could have ever created for him. I believe that we're watching now the major escalation of the followers and those that are rallying behind President Trump, because they see that this is a total injustice. They see that this is the first time in the history of America that a president has been persecuted, prosecuted as this man has. He's been hated, hunted, and haunted, if you will, by the leftists and the socialist Marxists. There's an attempt to impeach him on two or three occasions. He has had his tax returns audited. He has been chased down as a hound would chase down a cat on the sidewalk since he came down the golden escalator announcing his running for president. He's had his phones tapped, as he called it, and they laughed at him. He's had the Mueller investigation where it cost the taxpayers $41 million. He's gone through the sausage grinder, as you would call it, speaking academically. He's gone through that, and he's the first president in modern history that lost money while being in office for 4 years. So I find it disingenuous for anybody, and I've listened to some of the spokespeople on ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC. They're rejoicing. They're wanting to see the man in an orange jumpsuit and handcuffs. That's what they're wanting. That's what they think that they're going to be getting. But I am concerned about where we're going as a nation with the implosion taking place. Congressman Hill, hold your thoughts for just one moment. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
It's interesting to see how things are progressing or digressing. Things are somewhat stripped bare. We're watching the left rip apart at the fabric that underlies the nation. When I say that, we're seeing scorched earth being poured out there. Essentially, it's slash and burn, destroy anything and everything that they perceive might give advantage, political advantage to the other side. Anything that they can destroy that will advantage leftists and Democrats, they're happy to destroy. The slash and burn, or the, like I say, scorched earth policy is what we're seeing play out. So the provisions that we have in the Constitution and the things that were warded off, fought off, you know, the 33-count indictment against King George that we see in the Declaration, that we're seeing all these same violations play out in real time in different agencies of the government and sometimes headed up in the executive through executive orders. That's, you know, all of those are being repeated, and we're seeing a squashing of things like the excessive bail and cruel and unusual punishment provisions in the Eighth Amendment, the unlawful holding of these folks from January 6th. They've not been offered bail. Now we see the indictment of Donald Trump, something that's completely new, far from being ordinary. but a tactic now to bring the man down to hamstring him going into the presidential election of next year. Now, keep in mind, the same man, Donald Trump, that picked up the phone and had what he calls the perfect phone call with Ukraine, where part of that phone call was, hey, we need to deal with corruption over there in Ukraine. I need you to take a look into these things. He was impeached for the phone call. Now, keep in mind, here was looking for justice, looking for information, looking to see that we weren't throwing money down a corrupt hole. And by the way, if it's Ukraine or if it's Russia, they're both really corrupt folks. But now we're seeing the 14th Amendment go out the window, the notion of equal protection under the law. The left always likes to talk about a threat to democracy or something that's very dangerous to our democracy. We've heard that a million times. Folks, this is not a democracy. It was not formed as one, but the republic is in jeopardy. Keep in mind, with a democracy, the majority can vote to take away your rights. In a constitutional republic, you have rights that were given you by God, and government is there to secure those rights. So those rights are being undermined. The Second Amendment, or the Article 2, requires that the president see that the laws be faithfully executed. I have a question for you, folks. Are the laws being faithfully executed? And are we seeing 14th Amendment equal protection of the law? We're not seeing that today. Matter of fact, this is the most dangerous thing to our republic since the Mueller investigation. It's the most dangerous thing to our republic since Kevin Kleinsmith with the FBI as an attorney lied, committing apparently multiple felonies, changing a CIA document, and then forwarding that onto the FISA court via email, I guess, to renew a warrant against Carter Page. Now, again, multiple felonies to extend an unlawful search, an unlawful investigation. Now, that man with those multiple felonies, I think he's spent like a year of, suspended service within the bar. He continued to have his job for a long time, and he is an attorney, as far as I know, today. Now, if you did that, you'd probably face 20 years behind bars. But if you're a leftist and you're seeking to undermine or destroy your perceived political foes, it's perfectly fine, according to our Justice Department. Hillary Clinton and the DNC, talk about additional threats to our republic. You know, this, as a threat to our republic, is the worst one since Hillary Clinton and the DNC paid millions of dollars to come up with a fake dossier to spawn the Mueller investigation and potentially impeach a president. A sitting, understand all of these things go at the very core of the foundation of our government. A constitutional republic is being ripped apart before your very eyes today.
Absolutely. Well stated. Congressman Hill, what are your thoughts on what Craig just said, and how do you respond to it? Better yet, let me just couch it this way. What do you see this indictment of Trump, what do you see that doing to our Constitution and therein our Bill of Rights?
Well, first of all, Greg, well said. I love when Greg calls into the show because he says so many things that I'm thinking, and he says it so eloquently. So I appreciate all of his comments. But he did make one comment, which I agree with, which is so very telling, is that if you look at our Declaration of Independence and why our founding fathers expressed their grievances to King George, we are seeing a lot of those same grievances being perpetrated upon us right now by this Biden regime. So that was a great point that Greg made, that what we need are men who are willing to stand up to pledge their lives, their fortune, their sacred honor against this cabal, against this regime that is trying to usurp our constitutional republic, trying to usurp the rule of law that we have here and impose their own will on us involuntarily. Greg said that so very well. And I believe that we are at a point right now where men of this nation need to stand up and be men. We hear so many times that when women will stand up for their children, they call them mama bears, and everyone applauds them, and that's good. But we need men to be like men and stand up and say enough of this nonsense, enough of this cheating that the left does all the time. Their unlawful actions that they take. And men need to stand up. Men in the church need to stand up.
Yes.
And say, we are not taking this anymore. We're not going to be these milquetoast Christians who turn the other cheek and love everybody. That's not how Jesus was. Jesus called out the Pharisees, called them sons of Satan, called them vipers, and he called them out. And that's what we need to do. We need to stand up to them and fight back against this tyranny that we see that is ravaging our nation right now.
Absolutely. And Congressman, if I can add a little footnote to that, I watched Tucker Carlson as he interviewed Jason Whitlock. Jason Whitlock does a super, super job with his commentary and dealing with issues facing our nation. And Jason Whitlock last evening said this. Whitlock said that the Manhattan grand jury's indictment of Trump turned him into a hardcore MAGA, Make America Great Again, and criticized the far-left elitist for pushing the message that black people cannot put themselves up, pull themselves up, and achieve success. Quote, they have made me a MAGA fan. They have made me ready for whatever is next, because what they are building for young people today, I can't sit by and just let it happen without raising my voice and without being willing to, here it is, he says, without being willing to sacrifice whatever it takes for my kids so that they do not have to live in a communist Marxist society, end quote. He says, these people that think that the government is going to take care of them don't understand history. They've never studied history. They don't understand how tyrannical government is. If they have their way, we'll all be catching blank except for the elitist in charge. That is exactly what we see taking place. It is where we're watching. In fact, as this article does not do justice to listening to Jason Whitlock in his interview, he said, men, very similar to what you said, men need to stand up. He said, we need to be ready to go and do whatever is necessary to secure our nation, to save America, and to prevent it from being destroyed. He said, it's time we stand up and we be prepared for whatever the future holds that we might survive as a nation. I was very thankful to hear the man and his comments last evening in relation to that. Greg, if you would, and Congressman, hold on a minute. I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, my comment is concerning the indictment and everything that has been happening the last 2 years. Where is the Supreme Court on this? Where are all the other district attorneys in all the other states? Where is the GOP? Where is Kevin McCarthy? Nobody's saying anything. So they are, to me, the enemy, just like the Democrats, because if it's unconstitutional, the Supreme Court should speak out. But they don't. They choose to be silent, as they were in the 2020 election and the 21 in Georgia, and now the 22. We have fraud, and nobody seems to care.
Derby, you're exactly right. And if I may just insert this, with Kevin McCarthy, he said, McCarthy on the Trump indictment, he said, New York prosecutor irreparably damaged America. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said Thursday night his chamber will hold Alvin Bragg to account for an unprecedented abuse of power, saying the Manhattan District Attorney's unprecedented indictment of the former President Donald Trump has irreparably damaged America. Bragg has irreparably damaged our country in an attempt to interfere in our presidential election, McCarthy said. He goes on to talk about his sense of it and his feelings of it. So, Derby, you're exactly right. We have silence, generally speaking, but I've got a list of about 50 people that have come out of the closet. They made statements in support of President Trump. I very frankly think that with this indictment of Trump, it will galvanize the conservative Republicans and the conservative independents across America that could have never been done by regular campaign. I believe God will use it to galvanize we the people to stand and say enough is enough. That's my position. So, Derby, thank you so much for your call, for your insight and your input on that.
One more thing, please.
Go ahead.
I am tired of people making statements and talking. I want action.
Yes,
to counteract the illegal activities of the Democrats. And I see no action from anybody. That's my point.
I agree. I'm exactly with you. Thank you, Derby, for your call. Greg, how do you respond to those statements?
Derby, I agree with the sentiment. I'm hearing this all day, every day, it seems like, dealing with political endeavors and tyrannical actions of the left. We do need to also remember, in a constitutional republic, dealing with an Article III court, Article III, this is Supreme Court and subservient court, they need a case to be brought to them. It's not like the Supreme Court's going to meet together and all of a sudden they're the high legislative body. That's not what they are. They're a, if you will, a third separate check to make sure the Constitution is protected. Now, the left has been making it, making leftist political appointments for decades. The Constitution doesn't matter. It's a political agenda is the only thing that matters. And that's why for decades you saw decisions that were based on something other than the Constitution. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way it's supposed to work. But a case has to go there. Many times you have people even talking about Donald Trump now. Well, if he's an innocent man, let him go prove his innocence. That's not the way the courts work. The government's in a spot where they must prove him guilty. He literally can keep there, sit there completely mute. They have to prove their case. So people are getting things completely backwards, and I'm not beating up on Derby. The courts need a case to be brought, and many times that case may cost $1 million and take years and years. Obviously, this is a special case. This is something where they would grant certiorari, I believe, immediately. It'd be an emergency review of anything taking place with Trump, because this is the likely Republican nominee. That also makes this super-duper political. Now, keep in mind, as soon as the Supreme Court hears the case, the left will scream and they will cry, well, these are Trump appointments, because he has three appointments on the U.S. Supreme Court. So you see how they see it. Their cry is always one of politics. And if it's a 5-4 vote in their favor, it's a victory. That's all that matters. That's where scorched earth comes in as well. It doesn't matter. If they have to pack the court in order to get the majority decisions in their favor, they'll do it. If they have to threaten Gorsuch and Kavanaugh like Schumer did, they'll do it. It's irrelevant so long as they gain political victory. Now, keep in mind, the world is burning down around us economically. This is their priority. This is their priority. People are dying at a rate they haven't died at many decades in Chicago and New York and L.A. and D.C., but this is their priority. Criminals are being let out of jail at a rate never before seen, ever since the beginning of COVID, okay? But they see this as their priority. It has everything to do with power, folks. And if they can do this to Donald Trump, they can do this to anyone. What governor would be safe under these circumstances? What future president would be safe? What president's family or president's businesses would be safe under these circumstances?
Exactly.
None.
Right. Greg and Congressman Hill, if you would, hold your thoughts for just a moment. I believe I have Pastor Davis on the line. Pastor Davis, go ahead with your question or comment. By the way, for Congressman Hill and for Greg and for Pastor Davis, there's going to be a final aspect of this that I want us to look at and think on. How does this affect Christians, the church, and the promulgation of the gospel? How will this presently and in the future affect that going forward? Pastor Davis, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Well, good morning, Dr. Youngblood. Now, I would just like to say the church certainly better be on their P's and Q's now, all Christians as well, because if they can target a U.S. president, of course, any regular citizen like us will certainly be no match for what they might not be able to do as far as eviscerating our rights and, taking vengeance upon us, as they see fit. And I think at this particular point in time, Alvin doesn't have a reason to brag. It's just a sin and a shame, can I say, for a person from his standard as being a district attorney to indict a U.S. president. I understand he's not a sitting president, but I understand from some of the things that I heard, I listened to Dr. Sebastian Gorka last night, an interview with him, and he was saying how this same man promised, if he was to win the election as district attorney, that he was going after Trump. So, you know, I guess he's making his promise good, but it's not going to benefit him any, because he has forever tarnished his name in U.S. history.
Absolutely. It will destroy him for the future, and that would be good, because he's bought and paid for as a puppet from George Soros, and we need to rid ourselves of that in the nation. But Pastor Davis, thank you so much. Our time is about out. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for the insight. You're exactly right. And as Christians, we need to keep praying that God will give the victory in this. God is still on the throne. He's not asleep. He's not on vacation. But thank you so much, Pastor Davis. Congressman Hill, one final question that I'll let you answer and then respond. I'll let Greg respond quickly in our closing moments. It goes back to, how is this going to affect our civil government and Christian liberty and the Trump campaign? That's three questions in one. Respond to that, each of you, for about a minute.
Well, it will affect it negatively if we let it. Mm-hmm. But if we instead stand up, be men, be willing to pledge our lives, our fortune, our sacred honor for the simple fact of spreading the gospel, we are willing to do that, then they will not prevail. But if instead we're fearful, then we will be taken over, and this great nation, this great republic, will be in demise.
Absolutely. Greg, we've got about 45 seconds. Take that and share with us your thoughts and some closing thoughts about what Christians and churches and pastors and we the people need to do in these last days.
As the Honorable Congressman Mike Hill just said a moment ago, Christians need to stand. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Wherefore, by the way, this is that which precedes it. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day is here, folks. And having done all, what does it say? To stand. We need to, as believers, stand. We stand on the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we stand on truth. When you know something is right, you stand on it, you stand by it, and you guard it and defend it. As Daniel Webster says, what does he say on dealing with freedom? My goodness, God grants liberty only to those who love it and are always ready to guard and defend it. That's the Daniel Webster quote. It's a beautiful quote, and as believers, we need to be standing and defending freedom.
Absolutely. As Tacopini, the lawyer for President Trump, said, they asked the question to President Trump's attorney, how is Trump going to respond? He says, his knees do not bend. He will stand and fight this for victory. And I believe that's where we need to stand as Christians today. Congressman Hill, thank you so much. Greg, thank you for joining us and for each one that called in today. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository.